hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get. And you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM, FM, shortwave, talk radio. The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Talk radio. The truth is on talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the National Intel Report. And I am sitting here reading Jack Otto's book, World War III, Coming to a Neighborhood Near You, Serious History Research by Jack Otto. A lot of thoughts running through my head right now. And I am dead serious about this. If I am wrong, I will admit when I am wrong. But so far, what I've seen, what I've read, what I've researched, what I've heard directly, not from a source of a source of a source, but directly from the proverbial horse's mouth, I'm not going to let this thing go. And if they do pass the hate crime legislation, it's not only about the Bible, because even Gary in California quoted the Bible, but we can get real selective in the quotes. What I want to have is an honest, open discussion about the Jewish question. Years ago, a producer for a well-known radio talk show host that I will not mention, he used to be on this network, he's now on GCN, his producer told me that, you know, you're just a little white Caucasian Christian guy. If you go after these Jews, they'll crush you. I said, okay, if I were to take you at face value on that statement, then why don't you do this little white Christian boy a favor, and why don't you people clean house yourself? She admitted that that's what needed to be done, but they were afraid. I said, why? Because of monetary gains, because of position on radio stations? She admitted that, yes, that was the truth. So we have a lot of people that are more concerned, evidently, with a dollar than they are the truth. And for the life of me, folks, I see absolutely no reason to continue this network, continue this radio program, continue this constitutional republic, which is dying a very quick death, if we don't want to face some absolute truths and get on with it. Because what we'll end up with is going to be a bastardized version of the Constitutional Republic. You will see it watered down. You will see it whittled. You will see the fine folks coming in under the guise of truth, justice, and the American way that are anything but that. And I, for one, don't want to go through all this expense, all this time. Could be life-threatening. I don't want to go through this for a half-baked effort. And it's not the term that I wanted to use, but this is a family show and in polite company. We'll take the break. We'll be back.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
A little bit later on, I'm going to make some commentary here about the abomination in Washington, D.C., along with Netanyahu. And as I said, folks, I already know what's going to be happening in the Middle East for the next 6 months and well into the future. Share that with you. Will China own our land? And a piece that was written by a Vietnam veteran while he was in Vietnam. Quite an eye-opener. A lot of people are saying that, well, you know what? I haven't seen a piece of paper yet. It's bulletproof. It'll stop a bullet. I see a lot of ratcheting of jaws. I see a lot of people out doing their own thing on various different topics. But I see no real headway on how to stop the New World Order takeover of this country. The bankers just about put the coup d'etat touches on America here, got us so far in debt that we will never, ever, ever, ever be able to retire that debt. You can't do it. You can't retire a debt with debt money. It's interest-bearing. Okay, we can't. The government right now has to borrow 50 cents on every dollar that it's borrowing. And they're borrowing billions and billions every day. So this is a trap that's not going to be sprung anytime soon until we get rid of the charlatans that say that, well, you know, your own Congress invited in the private money service here. And it's only your Congress that can get rid of it. Yeah, we know. But we have a bunch of gutless people sitting in the U.S. Congress. One of the things I would like to see is the popular vote that Ironically, about the same time that we had the Fed Reserve, the creation of the ADL in 1913, along with the income tax, to make the senators a popularly elected post. Folks, we had two senators from every state that went to Washington, D.C. and treated it as if it was a foreign territory not to be trusted. When the senators did not do the bidding for the states, they were recalled, and that doesn't mean that they were smacked on their little behind. That means they were excused and replaced. That's another thing that has to go bye-bye in this country. Let me go to the phones here. Sean in New York. Hello, Sean.
Hi, how you doing?
Out of breath. What's up?
I have a couple questions, kind of change the subject a little bit.
Go ahead.
I want to know what the necessity is of them GPSing your front door, and then what did I do by chasing the guy off the property? Not with a big gun, like the guy you had a caller the other day that chased the woman off with a big gun, but I chased him off. And I knew what he was doing because he had his handheld device, and
right.
I didn't even give him a chance to open his mouth, and I told him to get the you-know-what off the property.
Right.
Now, did I put myself on top of a list somewhere?
Well, Sean, if this guy is worth his salt and you scared him bad enough, I'm sure that you've been probably put on the list as being a possible terrorist.
Well, I already knew that.
Well, then you didn't lose anything, did you?
No.
I am going to do the same thing if they show up their little GPS device at my house, because there is absolutely no reason that I can see. You know, and their questions, their scope of questions is to be very limited as to how many adults live in the house, of what ethnicity they are, which I thought the government wasn't supposed to ask you those questions because that would appear racist, but evidently they still do. But the one question that I really have that's not been answer to my satisfaction is, why do they have to actually GPS you and your house? Maybe for targeted elimination, as far as, well, if you don't pay taxes or whatever the case may be, or maybe you will be audited and they will take your house. I don't know the answer to that question. It's very suspicious. I'm not against technology per se, but technology has been used many times by the ne'er-do-wells against the people. So that's right. My answer.
Well, I actually never gave him a chance to ask me how many people lived in the house, because the minute I saw his little tag hanging off his neck and holding his little device, I knew exactly what he was doing. And the first thing I did, I opened the door a little bit, and I said, "I'm not buying. Close the door." Well, he stood there, and then I opened the door back up, and I says, "I know what you're doing. You know, go.
Yeah.
Just go."
Yeah,
he wanted my house number, and then he sat in front of my house for probably 4 or 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and before he drove down to the next house.
Well, and I'm going to do the same thing with the census people, because you know, it's the same issue with the driver's license about compiling information. That's got nothing to do with anything. You know, if they want to convert a privilege, a right to a privilege for driving, which, by the way, I had the perfect opportunity to talk to people in Bureau of Records down here in Texas the other day, and tell them exactly how that conversion process took place and why they did it, and then queried them. I said, "Do you know how many billions of dollars the insurance companies are making off of car insurance?" I said, "Think of all the money that is wrapped around these four-wheeled rubber little things." And I says, "Any insurance, manufacturing, tire manufacturing, you name it, taxes. You have to, why every year do you have to re-register your car in the state that you're in? Why do you have to keep buying tags for the thing?" I said, "There is a lot of money involved in this, and they don't want to leave go of it." Because I cited a case in Michigan some 20-odd years ago, of which the one individual said, "Wait a minute, driver's licenses were only supposed to be issued to those people that were engaged in commerce, not the ordinary person that has the right of travel and assembly and, you know, all that other falder all under the First Amendment." Well, they got real, real nervous because they realized that that would be a case setting precedent in Michigan, and the other 49 states would follow. And on top of that, the class action lawsuits would be in the billions and billions of dollars, because how many people have they hauled off to jail for not having a driver's license? Or how many people have they impounded their property because their paperwork wasn't quite right? So when these people show up at my door, the census takers. And I hear that it's a federal law, but I don't care anymore. I'm going to tell them to beat feet off the property the same way you did, the same way I did with the Agenda 21 people, the smart growth people that came into my neighborhood in Round Rock, Texas. I chased them clear out of Round Rock.
Well, I was going to say that I was watching the mainstream news on TV, and the woman was saying that by law you have to answer their questions and let them GPS your door.
Well, and sorry.
I don't know. I've never heard of such a law.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't know where I would find, where could I find out where that is law?
Well, the GPS is a brand new thing. I doubt very much that it was made into law. That's just one of those neat, nifty little things that they're doing.
What they're putting on the mainstream media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That you have to comply with these people.
Well, and like I said, I've got religious exemption on some things here in Texas. And I will use that same defense that they're using the information, not necessarily for my good. This is not turned into census taking per se, but it's a tool for societal management, let's call it. And I'm not going to partake in it. They can go to hell in a handbasket.
Well, that's the way I feel.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Appreciate your call.
Anytime.
Don in Wisconsin. Hello, Don.
And I thought I better get this in before all this control of speech takes over. So I wanted to say this, and it's not swearing or anything, but if I'm speaking out of turn, just tell me to quit talking, okay?
Well, just go easy, will you?
Okay. I used to listen to Coast to Coast when Art Bell had that program, and then he left, and George Norrie came on, and I listened to it continue. I wanted to give him a shot, you know, see how well he did with all the science, because I'm basically science interested.
Right.
And it seemed like he was always had Jewish guests, Jewish authors, Jewish books, and the Jewish position on everything. And finally one day it just occurred to me that, you know, I never heard any countering point. I never heard nothing about the Muslims, nothing about Iraq, or anybody that said anything supportive of Iran. You know, they were just about driven off the property with a broom.
Right.
So one day I emailed him, and after about two or three times emailing him, I asked him, I says, why do you seem to be totally supportive of the Jewish position, and you won't entertain, I don't think I've ever heard you entertain anybody else's position. And he wrote back and he said, yes, I am totally and completely supportive of anything and everything the Jewish people do. And that's all he said. One-liner to my query, and I think he's Lebanese, but the point is, he said, I'm totally and completely supportive of anything and everything Jewish.
And
that was the end of the comment.
Well, and how many stations has George Norrie managed to hang on to?
I have no idea, but he said the other night he was 500-plus.
Okay, so he's got 500-plus radio stations. If he's perceived as being anti-Semitic, how many of those radio stations do you think he will still have?
Well, that's what I thought, but I've never heard anybody come out and say that these radio stations that people listen to all night long because they can't sleep,
right,
they are totally supportive of the Jewish position, and if you query them on it or ask them about it, they don't even lie. They don't even bother to make excuses.
Well, and that is what I was shocked today. I was talking to the Reverend off air today, and he was telling me some stories that kind of actually turned my hair even whiter than it is. And it seems that there are a lot of people that are afraid of the big, bad Jewish boogeyman, and they don't want to speak against it because you know what it's going to do? It's going to interrupt their commerce. And that's what I've taken from this. I've been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes queries about this individual or that individual, you know, who they're associated with, so on and so forth. And I'm finding this to be the case. They're doing it because of a buck. And that is highly distressful. You know, does it stand to reason why, while George Norrie will not put me on there?
He sure puts Alex on often enough.
Don, we're going to commercial, Don. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Okay.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
The Perkylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perkylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perkylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perkylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Stop talking about juice, orange juice, grapefruit juice. I want you to stop talking about the juice.
By Jiminy. Ron in Pennsylvania, don't talk to me about any kind of juice.
Okay, John, I'll talk about some Zionists. Is that permissible?
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's a word. I didn't call earlier because I wanted Reverend Pike to get in to see where the legislation was going, which he did for a few minutes there. I wasn't up on it. I did contact some people against it, so I've done my part, so forth.
Yeah.
Something I noticed, that I want to run some things by you, and I have been active, and I got some things to distribute to a couple of inquisitive younger people on the Zionist problem and situation, and they are very thirsty for some knowledge, so we're doing this as a gradual exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know that I have pretty much accurate information on this. Now, on the March 30th of this year, I had written a friend of mine email asking him about Alex Jones went into a profane screaming tirade to a polite caller that simply mentioned Jack Bernstein and Benjamin Friedman, and I heard it was Alex's voice. Well, I thought at that time profanity is an effort of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. That's YMCA 1964. That's where the old quote came from. The next day, for some reason, I got an answer from a friend of mine who just got something from Europe. apparently they've been digging around on Alex over there, and there was a bunch of stuff that they come up with, and they're not really impressed with what's going on. Well, I left it go, and a week later on April the 6th, and I still have the emails, Nathaniel Kapner gets on the issue, and he really digs into it. And then he finds out this and that. He tried to get into some of the blogs, and he bypassed the word recognition system that he Alex had and so forth. So there's a lot of people that are against. While the Alex has a wide distribution of people, listen to him all over the world, Ted Pike's never going to get on that program. I can guarantee that.
No, I know he isn't. And I think
the people should listen to programs like yours for a reason.
Well, and I appreciate that, Ron, but my fervent hope with Alex has always been that he doesn't shy away from anything, that he just be completely upfront and honest with whatever he's doing and whatever he's talking about. And a lot of people, and this goes across the board, there's a lot of people that have this inherent fear. But as I said earlier, Ron, when I take a look at who's behind the global plan here, if I see what is behind the banking takeover of this country to put us in perpetual debt, to actually destroy the country, if I take a look at the organizations, or if I take a look at the true roots of socialism and communism, it leads me back to the same spot. You know, the people that are behind the hate crime legislation, same thing. You know, you read those three reports, Megiddo, the MAIC, and the latest doublespeak that came out of Homeland Security Office. She's Napolitano's firmly behind that. And this is all information that has been handed to him by the ADL and Southern Perversion Law. And this has got to stop. As a matter of fact, the ADL should have its 501c3 revoked, and this is what I'm going to suggest with Mr. Pike, and I will take an active part in bringing down the ADL in this country. This is a free country, and it will remain so, without this worldly influence that every single time we turn around, Ron, this day is a hell of a lot worse than the last day. And indications are to me, this is why I want to have a free and open discussion. Let this thing ferret out. Let it run its course on the airwaves. Let's see who's sitting where, what information they have, because it might be inaccurate. They may be fearful for no good reason at all. So I want this thing to be ferreted out. And I don't want to jump on the Alex Jones bashing bandwagon here, because he does have a lot of influence. He's done a lot of good work, you know, waking a lot of people up, and I want to see that continue. But this exchange, I mean, Tex Mars married Alex, for gosh sakes. And Tex Mars came out with a scathing thing against Burmis the other day. And when Burmis made the statement, and I heard this, that people claim, you crazy people out there claim that 90% ownership of Hollywood is Jewish. You people are out of your mind. You should commit suicide. That's when I launched into my diatribe, pointing out who owned what in this country and what influence. This is the medium. It is television. It is newspapers. It is magazines. It is Hollyweird. All of these things keep pumping the very same message. It is a conditioning process. And I want it stopped. This is a Christian nation. It is not a Jewish nation. It's not a Slovakian. It's not Muslim. It's not. This is a Christian nation, and it shall remain so. And if any race or any group of people have a problem with that, get the hell out.
That's right.
Go home. It has afforded you opportunities beyond your wildest imaginings. And if you want to abuse it, and you want to abuse those that gave you that opportunity, go home.
Yeah, I have another comment or two that probably fit right in with this that I hadn't mentioned before, but it just happened to come to mind, something I've discovered. I don't know if your indication would be correct or not. Somewhere I have a couple of long papers that have the whole ownership of the studios and so forth and who they are. There's hundreds of names on there.
Did you hear my program last week? Did you hear the diatribe that I went through?
Yeah, I did. And the Arabs don't own Hollywood.
Well, I pretty much figured that one out. Hey, Ron, hang on a second. We got a break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
We'll pay $25,000 of your credit card debt guaranteed. Since 1993, Zero Debt in 90 Days is still the only guaranteed debt relief program available. We'll either solve your debt problems in 90 days or we'll pay you $25,000. Our attorney said we could not make this promise, so we fired them and hired new attorneys, and they just love the idea.
My wife and I thought these guys are nuts, but a few months later, we were totally debt-free. This has changed our life and given us a brand new start.
So if you have too much debt of any kind, we want to pay for it. If you are facing foreclosure, we can stop it in one day and you make no payments. That's right, you keep your money. As of this date, we have stopped every single foreclosure and all of our clients are still in their homes, paying no property taxes, no mortgage, no rent, and no chance of having to move anytime soon. We will pay you $25,000 if we cannot solve your debt problems within 90 days. Call now and mention this offer to get your free copy of our 7 debt relief secrets. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, Ron, let's move along here because I've got some material I'm going to cover before the end of the program.
Okay, I want to, real quick, I find out something. I'll skip a couple things and skip to the end. You've always heard that saying about ADL saying never forgive, never forget. What I'm finding younger people are doing now is they have no position to forgive, and they certainly aren't forgetting. I find a lot of them say, look, okay, a Holocaust happened, there was war, it's terrible, we don't like this kind of thing, but if you people are that intelligent, you have enough of success and finances and so forth, move on to more positive pursuits, something constructive. Shut up. We're getting tired of hearing the whining and whining and whining. If you're smart enough to do these things, you're smart enough to move along in a positive connotation.
That.
They don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. We've got to have it their way. And by Jiminy, I'm telling you, Ron, I could go 4 hours with Ted Pike because he's a great researcher.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to have open and adult discussion about this, because there are too many indicators that the false Jews or the Pharisees, call them what you will, Zionists, I don't care, they have hijacked Judaism for all time, and there's even Jews that recognize this, and they're sick of it. So I think we can be the true Semitic or Jews' best friend. in helping them clean their own house.
Yeah, I have friends of mine that are Jews. We've talked about this issue a couple of times. They know I know what's going on. And some of them don't seem to like the whole situation, and some just go along. They're businessmen. Some work for other people, and so forth. They know what's up.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah. And it has to be stopped. I mean, because like I said earlier, if we are to restore this country and to get rid of the bad element that wants to undermine this for their own private agendas, then we've got to face the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
It has to be that way. It can't work any other way at all.
Otherwise, it will be compromised and we'll be just as bad off. We might have a little respite for a little while, but we'll be just as bad off, if not worse, because the toll that this is going to take on human life, property, everything else, is even beyond my comprehension. I'm trying to minimize it, but my brain tells me that these clowns, they need the United States to go bye-byes. They really do, because we're the bane to their world plans of global socialism and world banking.
And we're going to get the blame for it, because they're going to say, us, the younger people, well, hey, you guys are older and smarter. Why don't you do something about it?
Well, I'm tired of talking, aren't you?
I know.
All right. Hey, Ron, I got to run.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. This is all that I'm asking for, is for adults to have open and honest dialogue. Let's ferret this thing out. Let's quit running from it. My God in heaven, I mean, people are afraid that they think the sword of Damocles is going to come down on their scrawny little necks. Or they won't be able to sell their wares, you know, in case they come out. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Go to the ADL site. Put my name in there. Do a search. It doesn't show me as being anti-Semitic. It shows me of having to do with this evil militia back in the 90s. And I'm to that end, I'm barely even mentioned. But I have been told repeatedly, oh, no, oh, the ADL, you know, they're after you, too. No, they're not. And I'll tell you the reason why they are not. And I've been talking to a lot of people that know what is going on, well-respected people, people that know the law, that know the Constitution, that know our constitutionally limited republic inside and out. And they're all in agreement. So I'm not going to go through all the pains, and I will not. Forgive me for this. If you think this is anti-patriot, or there goes Stattmiller again, throwing a monkey wrench into our well-conceived plans to get the country back, I will not abide building anything on sand or lies anymore. I refuse. I refuse. And if you're not in for the whole ball of wax, the whole nine yards, come what may, in the restoration of this Christian, constitutionally limited republic, then get out. Leave. Go somewhere. Go to hell. I don't care where you go, because I do believe, ultimately, that's where you're going to end up. Because you can't protect evil and call yourself righteous. You cannot do it. Anyhow, little thing I wanted to go over here was a piece done more than several years ago by a guy by the name of Bill Bridgewater. And I'm going to this Jekyll Island thing. You folks know that. And I'm going to sit and I'm going to do a lot of listening. And once comes my turn to talk, I will state my case unequivocally. And I'm not going to back off of it. Because for all the meeting and the eating and the greeting, for all the paperwork that's been shuffled around, for all the endless hours of diatribe that I have heard, I don't see anything that's got enough teeth so far to restore this constitutionally limited republic. I talked to Dr. Edwin Vieira today for an hour and a half on the phone. And he and I pretty much agreed on this subject, that we need something with real teeth. It has not been done yet. And that if we do not do it, we will lose this country. An hour and a half, folks. I'm talking to a guy here that won three out of his four cases in front of the Supreme Justices of the Supreme Court. The vaunted people that they are. And I'm just going to state my case. You know, it is fine and dandy for the oath keepers to say, you know, we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. Let me grab a sheet. We will not obey orders to disarm the American people. We will not obey orders to conduct warrantless searches of the American people. We will not obey orders to detain American citizens as unlawful enemy combatants or subject them to military tribunal. We will not obey orders to impose martial law or a state of emergency on a state. We will not obey orders to invade and subjugate any state that asserts its sovereignty. We will not, we will not, we will not. Okay? That's fine and dandy. I can sit here and say I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. But where does this have any teeth in law? You people that are still in the military, that are listening to the sound of my voice right now, let me ask you a question. What happened to Michael New when he refused to go under United Nations commander in Macedonia? You know, that PDD 25 was handed down by Bill Clinton. Couldn't be used in a court case because they would have probably shot Michael New for it. But they plan on putting American soldiers under foreign command. Now, we need something a little bit more than this, I shall not. I want it written in stone. I want it to become law. I want teeth in it. Enough of the meeting, eating, and retreating. I'm tired of this stuff. I've been talking about this stuff for 15 years, and I don't see anything improving. Do you? Do you? This letter that was written by Bill Bridgewater. This article was on the web, and it was sent to me. It was done by Bill back in, let me get the date on this thing. It was actually in the Bullet Trap, written by Bill Bridgewater, the Alliance Voice, in August of 1994. And this is what he wrote. The only newsies that I ever met that I didn't believe wasted oxygen by breathing were Dickie Chappell and Bernie Fall, both of whom were killed in Vietnam because they believed that you couldn't report battles in the field from a bar in Saigon. It is not easy to admit that a newsie stopped me cold the other day in the middle of one of their silly interviews. He had asked me to enumerate the reasons that I believed to be valid to support the private ownership of firearms. We did not disagree over personal protection. He even admitted that hunting is legal in every state. But when I stated that I believed that the Founding Fathers intended that we be armed against the possibility of our own central government overstepping its bounds, he quite bluntly asked me if I thought that an armed American citizenry had a snowball's chance in hell in an uprising against our own federal government. Now, when was the last time you put some real serious thought into that proposition? Not counting the slaughter of the American Indians, we have not seen a serious effort to pit Americans against Americans since the end of the war between the states that ended over 130 years ago. Remember, this was written in 94. Is there even a shred of possibility that an armed citizenry could succeed against the strongest military power on earth today? Perhaps we should review the years 1960 to 1975 again. The United States blindly struck its oar in the muddied waters of Vietnam very shortly after the French got their heads handed to them on a platter and were not invited to be a colonial power in Vietnam anymore. Finally, we found ourselves in a position of guaranteeing the survival of an independent South Vietnam when the northern part of the country made it clear that they weren't interested in reuniting the country under their particular brand of socialism. Made it clear that they were interested in uniting the country under their particular brand of socialism. For a decade and a half, we changed leadership of South Vietnam quite regularly, increased the pressure on the Johnson thumbscrews, bombed, quit, ad infinitum, quantified the war, and finally turned it into electronic war. At home, we kept telling the citizens that we were just about to win decisively and elected another president to drive crazy with his goofy little war. Starting to sound familiar to you? Finally, the president declared that all was over and that the troops could actually come home. But they did not return home in triumph with the bugles blaring. They came home with their tails between their legs, just like every other defeated army in the history of the world. And the reason they did so, my friends, was that the world's most powerful nation got its backside severely whipped by a small, backward, agrarian nation who started the war against us with an assortment of ancient bolt-action rifles, no lines of support, no manufacturing base, and no infrastructure that the country absolutely depended on. It is not a joke that they made sandals from cut-up truck tires. It's the truth. They fought the only kind of war they could hope to fight and win successfully, a guerrilla war. They had two good models, the American colonies against the British in our war for independence, and the American Indian Wars, where the value of a slash and run against a superior foe was escalated to a fine art by the world's finest light cavalry. Twice the northern Vietnamese allowed themselves to be suckered into main force setting our main force set battle pieces, and they got cut into ribbons for doing it. Otherwise, they stuck to the General Cheops plan of guerrilla warfare to the finish. The North finally did get to mass their troops and tanks during their final sweep to victory into Saigon. Why did this happen? Why did the world's most powerful nation get its teeth kicked in and sent home in disgrace? Because we forgot our very own origins. We forgot that we were the ones who hid behind the logs, the berms, and the bushes, and shot British troops and their mercenaries as targets of opportunity, while denying our opponents a target of any kind. We used the skills of the mountain and plains Indians against an army that was trained in only one form of combat. We refused to engage in the British method of combat until we had superior forces and the odds were highly in our favor. General Vo Nguyen Giap did exactly the same thing against us in the 1960s and 1970s. While we used our superior firepower and technology to create 10 million deaf monkeys and water buffalo, we defoliated tens of thousands of acres of jungle forest to prove that Giap's troops weren't there. We constructed every kind of trap known to mankind to capture and destroy divisions of enemy troops where there weren't any. We very patiently fought a European theater-type warfare against a steadfast foe who fought a completely different kind of war that simply made our complex weapons systems useless. By inflexibility insisting on doing it our way, we lost a whole shooting match to a man who played it his own way and won. Meanwhile, on the exact opposite side of the globe, another shooting match was gearing up that pitted the second most powerful nation in the world against an enemy whose armament consisted of ancient bolt rifles, who had no lines of support, no manufacturing base, and no infrastructure that the nation depended upon. Though the Russians were determined that they would not be sent home with their tails between their legs, the Afghans were paying particular attention to those tactics that had worked so well for General Cheop against the American forces. Even with the advantage of being able to totally ignore world opinion and to essentially ignore the opinion of its own citizens, Russia followed us down the long, winding trail to disgrace by doing exactly what we had done in Vietnam. High-ranking politicians, some of them in uniform, with absolutely no idea what was going on in the day-to-day conduct of both wars, made stupid decisions and then stuck by them despite advice to the contrary from both American and Russian on-scene commanders. The Russian method of combat, mass maneuver and firepower that they developed against Napoleon and Hitler proved no more successful than our methods against an aggressively waged guerrilla war. Both major enemies failed to fight the enemy they faced. Both, in fact, fought an historical enemy who was not present on the field of battle. Both of these superior armies truly believed that superior strength and technical abilities would win the day. Both major armies believed that time was on their side and was working against their foe. Both were totally wrong because they underestimated the growing dislike of the supposedly neutral or friendly indigenous forces whose cities, villages, towns, and homes were being destroyed by an ongoing flow of large-scale battles by two major armies. Now, whatever the levels of dispute between the Vietnamese, the American forces eventually became the common enemy simply because of massive damage that they were doing on behalf of the South. Exactly the same thing transpired in Afghanistan. The Russians became the common enemy and went home in defeat. Our armed forces used everything in our weapons inventory in the effort to win except nuclear devices. So did the Russians. They even used some chemical weapons that we didn't even have the timidity to try. Now, what does all this have to do with the question of the newsie asked me? Everything. A revolution could be waged against the current American government far easier than you might imagine without careful examination. Consider the sheer numbers of firearms of all kinds in the hands of American public would have made the American commanders of Vietnam quake in their boots. We're not talking about junk equipment here either. The average deer hunter, if stations have to go to break, I'm just going to keep going. So you take your break, I'm going to stick around. The average deer hunter with the 270 or 308 could give a platoon or regular troops more grief than they want. There was a special on the tube recently about military armaments on sale in the black market. Guess what? Even including Stinger missiles. The population base from which the revolutionaries could be recruited is massive, 250 million. There are literally millions of well-trained men who served as officers and NCOs who learned face-to-face how guerrilla warfare works. They haven't forgotten it either. There are millions of young men out there with military training and experience with weapons of every conceivable kind who would make top quality guerrilla troops. Every one of the 100 counties in the state of North Carolina could field at least one full company that would be formidable in capability. If one assumes that North Carolina is no more capable than other states, that could amount to 180 divisions. These potential rebel troops would be fast-moving, light infantry, with the capability of melting in the general population when necessary. You know, the old communist dictate, hide in plain sight. American military leaders would be in the position of having an inventory of high-tech weapons that they would be dependent upon your son or nephew to use against you. There would be no enemy states in which you could say that any weapon could be used against the rebels. They would be from each other, or from each and every state and major city. By the same token, there would be no sanctuary for the federal troops anywhere in the land, no matter where stationed. They would be subject to attack and harassment. The infrastructure on which the federal government depends would rather easily be disrupted by those who live there. Airfields and major lines of communications could be shut down and kept down for days at a time. Disruption of supplies to major bases and to centers of government would be simple. You don't have to cut them off, just keep them hungry. What has been said that they plan to do with us, control the food, therefore you control the population. The federal government would be denied the use of all major weaponry because they would still own the cities and villages. How do you justify bombing your own city just because there's a rebel company in it? We're not talking about a foreign land here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the good old U.S. of A. One bombing would be the biggest recruiting drive ever for the rebel forces, considering, if you want to consider for a moment, that we might be the rebels. We might be men with no country because it's been hijacked out from under us. These are my words. Now, just how powerful do you think 12 Army divisions and those three Marine divisions really look to you? Just how scary is the Air Force against America? Will the Navy do? Well, what are they going to do, shell all coastal cities? I don't think so. Now, one of these days, a truly charismatic individual is going to walk out of the heartland of America and point out that the Declaration of Independence has never been repealed and that it requires all citizens to rise up against an oppressive government. With the current attitude toward our government and the people who populate it, a massive groundswell of support for throwing the current crop to the dogs and starting all over again might not be so difficult. As for the ability of the American citizens to successfully wage a guerrilla war on their own government, the likes of which this world has never seen nor contemplated before, I am absolutely convinced that it could be done, and a lot more swiftly than many might believe possible. How many highly capable long-range snipers can your county put together? This was a piece that was done by Bill Bridgewater in 1994, August of 1994. Now, what I just read you is going to be the last attempt at a restructuring and a refounding of this constitutional republic if necessary. But do not let anybody tell you that anybody with a little political agenda, anybody that wants to wave a piece of paper saying, I've got the law and you're violating it, has ever stopped any tyrant dead in their tracks, ever. And when all said and done, thank you very much, I'm going to hang on to my firearms, my ammunition, my supplies, and they ain't going nowhere. And no, you're not getting it. I don't care how damn bad this economy gets, you're not going to have me turning in guns for food. Thank you very much. I've got plenty of food for me and my family. I'll just wait this one out. Thank you very much. Now, what I'm describing here, folks, is the last absolute ditch. But let me remind you of something. These people that have thrown down and committed treason against the American people, the only thing that they fear, the only thing that they fear, is a well-armed and well-informed populace. I don't want it to come to that. But do you ever think that these people are going to turn tail and run if they think the American people are gutless? If they think the American people will not stand up for their God, their country, and the Constitution? This is what keeps them awake at nights. What keeps you awake at night is keep hearing the fear-mongering propaganda that they're all so powerful, and that, my God, I've been receiving death threats, and I don't want to be shut down, and I don't want to go to jail, and on and on and on. I've heard it. I am sick of it. Revolutions and restorations aren't for pansies. If you're a pansy, shut up, get out of the way. Sit down, shut your fat mouth. There's been enough fear instilled in the American people by our own government, by our own politicians, by the moneyed people, by the media, and by anybody else. The swan song of the gloom and the doom. I, for one, am not buying it, and if I ever thought that I would never utter another word behind a microphone. It's coming down to crunch time, folks. Either we put some real stuff behind this, and we drag out the law, and we drag out the Constitution, and we say this is the way it's going to be over somebody's dead body. It ain't going to be mine. You're either going to uphold and defend and protect and continue this constitutional republic, or guess what? You got to go, and go you will. This is not a game. This is for everything that we hold near and dear, including our lives. And I, for one, am in no position to compromise anymore. And for those that want to put down this great republic with all of their minions and all of their money and all of their sway through their lies, intimidation, and threat, you can go to hell as well. I plan on sticking around, restoring this great country for the future generations yet to come. And there's a whole lot of people I'd like to see liberated on this planet. Not democratized, but given true liberty and a chance at what God has created for all of us to share. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the message I'm going to take to Jekyll Island. I will see you tomorrow with the special edition of the National Intel Report with Bob Chapman and Robbie Noel. And I'll have substitutes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the National Intel Report. I thank you for your time. With recent